This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to Best Show Best. This is the best of the best show, the new version of the best show. And for people who don't know, the best show takes place each and every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. till midnight over at thebestshow.net. And if you are new to the program, these are little bite-sized greatest hits samples of what we do every week. So check this out. And if you want more, you can listen to the full 3-hour extravaganza and check it out. And if you want to support the best show, the way to do that is to download the episodes and to give us reviews on iTunes and to tell people that the show is back and that you like it. So please check out this new episode of Best Show Best. Now guys, I'm going to go to the phones right now. I'm told.
Squarespace.
Oh.
Build it.
All right. I'm being told that I'm done talking to Riff Raff for the time being. Can you turn?
You?
That's me. You're talking to me. I think you need to turn that down, whatever you
can. I turned it off.
You turned it off?
I thought you were reading the ad. I guess you pre-recorded that.
No, I did read it. That was a live read.
What's happening?
What is that? That was a live read, Kristen Schaal. How are you?
Wait, am I on the air now?
You are, yes. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Really? Okay, there must be a delay in my internet stream. You really nailed that ad read, by the way. I bought all the thing that you were selling. What, squares? I bought all the squares.
You bought all the squares. Thank you.
Yeah.
There are none left, everybody. There are no squares left. Kristen Schaal bought all of them.
Also, I was listening to you tell the young man from Brooklyn who's going to do an open mic at
Creek and Cave.
Cave. You basically were selling him Joanna Newsom's act. I don't know if that was good advice.
For him to bring a harp on stage?
Yeah.
But she doesn't play a harmonica also.
A couple harps. Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
So she plays harmonica and harp. Does she have like the Bob Dylan harmonica bracket?
Yeah, sometimes she gets so into it, she with the harmonica in her mouth, she starts like just running it across the harp.
All right. See, I don't know this stuff. I don't know.
No, I
you made that. That sounds.
I've never been to her concert, but that would be pretty awesome.
That would be awesome if you went to see Joanna Newsom. And she was playing her big harp, and all of a sudden, she reached in her pocket and pulled out a little harmonica and started playing both of them at the same time.
Yeah. But then took the harmonica in her mouth and just started running her harmonica face up and down the harp.
Yeah, and then, like, she would probably start bleeding, because I'm sure those strings are thick.
Yeah, and that's how you know you've made a real good show.
It's like, unless you see her, if she's not bleeding, you didn't get a good Joanna Newsom concert.
You didn't have Joanna blood speckles, like, on some part of you, then you didn't see her perform. You saw her phone. Yeah.
Exactly. She phoned it in that night.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of phoning it in, Kristen Schaal, you have phoned in to this show. This is the first time you've been on the show.
That's too bad. I'm sorry about that.
No, It finally happened. I've had Kurt on a whole bunch of times. Your comedy partner, Kurt Brownoler.
Mm-hmm. The best.
He is the best.
He is the best. And I wanted to, I guess, I personally apologize for intercepting your phone call with Jason Wallner the other night. That was in poor taste, but I got so excited.
It was funny.
When your name popped up.
Yeah, I was calling Jason Wallner, and then all of a sudden I heard you screaming in the phone, and I couldn't make out what you were saying, but I just heard screaming.
I think I wasn't saying any words. I was screaming. Yes. I was in trouble.
Well, look, you had good reason to scream on Sunday night, because Sunday night was the premiere of the show, The Last Man on Earth, which you are you are not the last man on earth on the show. You are the you. It says two on the call sheet with your name, right?
I'm number two on the call sheet.
Yes.
Yeah.
So look, Will Forte is the last man on earth, but then you are the last woman on earth. And you're on the show, and the show's so great. It really is. I was so excited watching the show. I was like, this is so good. And then like the next day I was like, well, let me go check online and see. Clearly there's no way anybody could have watched it if I liked
no
it
way.
That much. But then I looked and all of a sudden it's like, wait, everybody watched it. Oh my God, I couldn't believe that.
I was in your boat, Tom. I was like, and that was a real fun time.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even want to look at the internet, and I made myself not look at the internet for 15 seconds. And because I'm a junkie on it. But it was good news. It was fine. It was a perfectly fine breakfast. I was happy. Yeah.
It did. Like, a lot of people, because, look, everybody likes the quality-wise, everybody's like, this show's great, and everybody's great on it. But then it's like, all of a sudden, like, it got real ratings. I was like, oh, finally, something, like, intersects that I like that's not just going to go fade away into the distance.
Yeah. Did you feel kind of patriotic, maybe? A little bit.
I felt a little patriotic. The idea that America signed off on The Last Man on Earth.
Yeah.
So, you started on this. You guys have done a bunch of these now, right? How many did you film of the show?
We shot 13, and the last day of filming was last Monday. And you were thinking, I don't know if this is that interesting, but you directed you directed a couple incredible real estate videos.
I did.
They're amazing. And that album, this is maybe boring, but I listened to that album nonstop working on the show. I don't know why, but it was just the perfect album for me for the show. It's a great album.
Yeah, those guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's all.
Yeah,
especially
Crime. The Crime is, I just would just hit that on repeat over and over. But that video is good. Do you listeners know that you direct music videos?
Do these people listening know?
Yeah.
They know. The audience, there's good people listening to this show. They pay attention. they follow what's going on. So you're doing this show, and now you're also, you have Bob's Burgers. So you are like the emperor of Fox now, pretty much. Like, you're just like you're the center point of all these things. Of the Sunday night lineup.
Well, I guess so. I wouldn't say the center point, but I'm spoiled rotten by Fox at this. Yeah, jeez, I was embarrassed when they said the show would be on Sunday night, actually, because I was just like, people are gonna be burnt the F out. Let's spread it around.
They're gonna be. You're worried they're gonna be shawled out.
Yeah.
No.
But they're not. It's just one is a cartoon and one is live action, so I think it's okay.
Yeah. No. Please. People can hardly get their fill of you. They're not going to get sick of you.
They you. You're hired.
They want people are watching 800 episodes of Family Guy. I think they can hang with you doing a couple things.
That's true. You're right.
So when you start on a show like this, when you start on something that's like new and it's kind of different like that, what is that like for you to like, are you just going into it like, hey, whatever happens, happens, let's just see where we go, and or are you just like trying to figure it out ahead of time and you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Well, like, I had a lot of time before we started filming because I knew I was doing a show like around this time at the end of February, and we didn't start shooting until, you know, September, October. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of time to figure out like what the character was like, I guess. But then also, yeah, you're just sort of blind about it. Like, but like a couple times the directors would be like, we could pan up or we could do this, but I just don't know, like, what's the tone of, I don't know what the show is. And I would be like, neither do we.
So everybody's just kind of looking at each other like, is this the show?
Yeah. I mean, obviously Will and Phil and Chris had a very, like, Will had a very singular, he knew exactly what the show is and what the tone it was supposed to be. And, you know, and he's very diligent about making sure all the details were in place. Mm-hmm. But it still is sort of like, you know, you learn as you go. I think you just don't know exactly, like, you know, that's what's fun about it. You don't know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah. And you make them and they're kind of in a vacuum because it's like you're done shooting them before anybody sees them. It's not like you're getting feedback from people it's not like you're on the set this week now knowing that everybody loved the show and stuff. You guys did that in a bubble.
Yeah, that was my favorite part. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the ultimate treat, is just to get to create something with nobody judging it. Or even aware of it. Mm-hmm. Wow, that was great. Like, I didn't have to come to work and be like, internet hates Carol, and then, like, go and, like, try to put on a happy face. Like, I could just, nobody knew about her. It was great. It was so fun that it was almost like, and making the show was, like, the absolute dream job for me. That I honestly was, like, kind of like, oh, do we have to share it? Uh-huh. This just be for us. Uh-huh. But I guess they want that money, so
I get, yeah. At some point it can't just be, yeah, I guess that's why at some point you can't just film it and then watch it at home. They're gonna want other people to see it.
Apparently that was
it's kind of the way the it's kind of a money deal, the whole thing.
It is.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's generally how this whole thing shakes out. Because, you know,
do you ever have projects like that, though, that you had so much fun making and that you loved so much that you just, like, didn't really want to set them free to the world? Like, you just wanted to put them in a tiny little box with a lock under your bed and be like, this is really good and it's all mine.
Kristen, I don't have the opportunity. I can't. The people don't want what I'm doing.
I don't have.
People come down to my neighborhood. It's like they're slumming. They come down to my neighborhood. They come, they're slumming. Then they go back home to their mansion. Then they go back home. They come out. They hang with Tom. They come down and hang with Tom. It's like they go see like their old high school buddy who they have a good time with. But then there's just like, yeah, we saw enough of him. Let's go back to our mansions now with all the other successful people. So I don't have the luxury of putting things in a box under my bed. I have to show everybody. Everybody's got to see everything I make. I need everyone to see everything.
Well, that's the right attitude in general. That's why you make stuff. But you're the real deal, Sharpie. You're an artist. And you've got to accept that.
I've got to accept that I'm an artist. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? I accept
it. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? It's uncomfortable.
That's crazy. You're an artist, Kristen Schaal. You have done so many things. You've been doing, because you started, when did you come to New York? When did you move to 2000. Okay. And you grew up in?
Colorado.
In Colorado, yeah. And you had a pretty rural life comparatively, right? Like.
Yeah. Like we had cows and there was a big field behind us and no sidewalks. No cement to roller skate around on.
Yeah, and did you go, like, when you went to the movies, how far away was the movie theater?
Oh, it was probably like a 9-minute drive.
Oh, well, that's not bad. That's actually not bad. No, it's 9 minutes away. That's better than...
Oh, yeah, the town was really close.
Yeah, so it was just cows and a movie theater.
And a mall. We had the Twin Peaks Fashion Mall. That was pretty important to me.
Uh-huh. What was your favorite store in the Twin Peaks Fashion Mall?
Oh, the Walden books, because I love those Christopher Pike novels, which they're like R.L. Stine, but not as popular. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same.
Now, were you the kind of kid that carried a book around all the time?
Oh, good question. No, I don't think so. I wasn't nose deep in books. I was definitely a real, you know, chatty Cathy. Were you? Were you like a book guy?
Yeah, I carried books around and would kind of hide, like just always have a book on me. But then, you know, what's funny about that now is like when I see a kid now who's like holding a book when he's out with his family or her family, then it's like, oh, that kid is like I understand that kid. But then if books are being replaced by Kindles and things like that or iPads, it's like you see a kid with that, it doesn't mean they got a book on there. Think of the dumbest thing you've ever seen could be on that Kindle. It's like,
right.
Yeah.
Right. They could just be like looking at the internet on their iPhones without reading a book on it.
Yeah. It's hard to spot those kids now. So it's
right.
It's a little weird because they used to just, it was like a habit to always have a book with me. I never read it. I don't think I ever read it. What was I going to like tell my family while we're all eating at Sizzler that I'm just going to read this book now? No, they didn't want that. So when you came to New York, what brought you to New York, Kristen?
Oh, the bright lights. I wanted to make it big. I did. I saw the movie Muppets Take Manhattan at that movie theater in Longmont, and I was like, I'm sold. This looks like a great place to go. I'd never been there before.
Uh-huh.
Like, never vacationed as a family. So, yeah, I just sort of showed up and tried to be an actress, and that didn't work out. So then I did some open mics just like that. Brooklyn gentleman, I forget his name, Danny or something. Yeah, and that was my life. What he's doing was my life for years.
Just kind of working working all the shows. Did you do stuff at Eating It? Did you catch? Was that right?
Eating
before?
It. I worked up to. When I first got to New York, it was so depressing, and I happened to find the Eating It show at Luna Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in, and Marc Maron, of course, was hosting. Gene Garofalo was there. Eugene actually was doing stuff. And, and John Glazer and John Benjamin were doing things together. And Bradbury, the whole crew, David Cross was around. And I was just like, I would go every Monday night, and I would pay the $7, and I would get the free drink.
Yeah.
It was a great deal.
The ticket.
Stand in the back. For 2 years, and I didn't talk to anybody. I would just go stand quietly, study it, and then leave. And then I finally got the guts to give Jeff Singer a tape.
Mm-hmm.
And I got on, and I only ended up doing Eating It two or three times, but I got to do the last Eating It show.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's, you know who, I had the, except for the performing part, I had the exact same experience with Eating It, where I would go. Sometimes I would go with a couple of my friends. Sometimes I'd go by myself. But I would go in, have my free drink, ticket, And I would stand there and I talked to nobody for the longest time. I was terrified being there. Because for people who don't know this, Eating It was this show on Ludlow down in the, what's that, the Lower East Side? Is that what you call that?
Yeah, by so, Chap's Deli, a couple doors down from Chap's Deli.
Yeah, so it was. It's right around the corner from Katz's Deli, where the when Harry Met Sally, the scene with Meg Ryan
coming all over the food.
Yes, yes, that scene. But it was this show where you'd go on a Monday night. You didn't know for the longest time. They never told anybody who was on any of the bills. You would just show up, and and you'd go there, and you would just watch whoever was on the thing. And it really was. Like, Marc Maron was there every week, and it was like watching him just from change from week to week. You could seeing him do that was like the first person I saw. I was like, wow, you can do things like this, and you don't have to just be up there in a good mood or just doing your act or things like that. Like, there'd be weeks where he'd be working jokes out. And there'd be other weeks where he was not in a good mood, and he would do that. And it's like, oh, all of these are valid. He was the first person I figured that out from. It's just like, you don't have to be one way. Like, it doesn't have to just be pro when you're up there. And everybody was there. And that's where I saw John Benjamin do stuff, and, you know, John Glazer and Sam Cedar. And
oh, yeah.
All those guys.
Yeah. We were probably standing next to each other.
We probably were. And then you'd see, like, Janine Garofalo go there, and it's like, oh, my God, it's a famous person. Like, I could not believe how it was to actually see actual famous people in a room that held, like, 100.
Oh, a tiny room.
Yeah, because it was just it was like an afterthought of a room.
Mm-hmm.
And
it got so big, they had to put a TV out in the bar area, I remember. It just got so popular.
Yeah, because they just could not fit everybody into the club, but they wanted to shut the doors so it wouldn't make noise. So they ran a TV out there. That's when that was for the people who didn't know how to do it right. I looked at them as like the suckers. Like, you can't show up at 7 o'clock. And expect to get in the room.
Yeah, show up, get in line, and you don't talk with your head down.
Yeah, keep your head down, have your cash in hand, and you'll be all right.
I learned a lot from that show. I remember Marc Maron specifically also, because he was just so raw up there, I'd never seen anything like it before. I mean, I was still learning about stand-up coming from Colorado, but it was like, holy shit, this guy, what? He was like sitting on a stool, just like throwing emotion.
No, it was great. And it just, that was such a formative thing for me. And it's exciting to know that meant a lot to you too, because that really that shaped so much of what I tried to do. And finally talking to people, it's so funny that you finally at some point you just have to say something to someone when you're there. And it's like, I think Andy Blitz was the first person I said something to. So
Blitz did this thing. I have a problem too where I remember interesting sets that none of the other comedians do. And I remember the set that Galifianakis did. Mm-hmm. And I keep describing it to him every time I see him. He did it at Largo in L.A. in, like, you know, 2004 or something. He's like, I don't remember. I was like, but then you pulled out that rubber dildo. And he's like, I don't. And Blitz had this thing that he talked about a sitcom he was trying to sell. And he laid out the premise, and it was a man stuck in a piano. He doesn't remember it, but I still do.
Yeah, that's like tattooed on your brain now. But he's just like, what? Oh, I don't know. Is that me? That might not have been me. But now you must have things like that people saw you do at Hot Tub, Because you and Kurt Brownell have been doing this show for, how long have you guys been doing Hot Tub?
10 years, Tom.
10 years. And you moved, you actually moved it from one end of the country to the other.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
That
I'm so happy that happened.
Yeah. Because that was, because you guys were both here. And then who moved to L.A. first? You moved to L.A. first.
I did, obviously, yeah.
And then I remember Kurt saying that he was going to do both.
He couldn't live without me.
He could not live without you. But he had this thing where he said, I'll do like winters in L.A. and then I'll come back. It's like, no, you're not. Nobody ever comes back. Like, you're not coming back. And then he comes back for work and stuff. But you have to have like $50 million to be able to like split your life between two coasts.
Yes, that is so true. That's always been, I think that's part of the reason why he and I stayed for so long, too, is there got a point where neither of us were, like, there wasn't a ton of work for us to do in New York, but we just loved the city so much, and then it was just like, we'll be bi-coastal, and it's like, it's like the top of the 1% of people in America can do that.
Yeah.
Can, like, afford an apartment in New York and a place in L.A.
I'm, exactly. I'm not Lorne Michaels. I can't swing.
Right.
I can't swing that. But he can swing. Maybe someday Kurt will. You'll get there. In like 2 years, you'll. I don't know why I'm even saying this to you. In 2 years, you're going to be swinging that.
You think so, Tom?
Yes, with all this.
Oh my
with
God.
All this last
if
man and last man on I'm earth
gonna
money.
Buy, oh, that last man money's going to come in. I'm going to buy you. Brand new art warehouse.
Okay. I can't. I can't wait. So you have Bob's Burgers is where is that at now? Is that back now? Is it coming back? Where is it in the run?
It's back. I think we're on season 5.
Okay.
But the seasons are all weird. Seasons were weird because sometimes at the beginning they were a little shaky about us, so they would order 9, and then that was like a season. So I'm always confused about what season it is.
Yeah, what constitutes a season? Yeah, it's
yeah.
As long as they don't shut the door, that's all that matters. You call it whatever you want to call it, just don't shut the door.
Let them keep drawing Bob and Linda. You know, let them keep drawing it.
Exactly. So what else do you have for 2015? Anything exciting here? You have, I don't even know how you could fit anything else. You have Last Man on Earth. You have Bob's Burgers. You have Hot Tub.
I have a good hot tub brunch. Well, Bob's Burgers is going on tour in a couple weeks to Minneapolis, Chicago. Sold out. New York, Boston. So that's coming up in March, and then I'm going to a wedding in April. I'm looking at my calendar.
Okay.
You know, Easter. Well,
this wedding is not a. Is the wedding sold out?
I think the wedding sold out. To be honest,
okay,
I think it was oversold.
Okay.
Yeah.
Standing room only.
Yeah.
So.
But I don't have. It's pretty open. You know, I'm back to usual now where things are, So I'm looking through the calendar, Tom, and it it's got a lot of numbers where the days are, and then a lot of, but Mondays are full for hot tub. Okay. Every Monday night I got a hot tub show, so that's good.
All right, there's enough. These people, what more do they want from you? You give them, exactly, right? Now, Kristen Shaw, I'm going to ask you some rapid-fire questions, and then I will let you go on with the rest of your evening.
But maybe we'll be able to have more conversations down the road because I really enjoy this.
You can call any time you want.
Oh, that's right. I got the number now.
You do. You have the number. You call me any time you want, Kristen.
Like that Frederick guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're just like, I hope this Bob's Burgers tour is not going to Newport Richey. That's all I hope.
I don't think so. I don't think we sold very many tickets there.
For the Newport Richey show? No.
Yeah.
But you can call anytime you want. You are awesome, and I've been such a huge fan of yours forever. And
oh, vice versa, Sharpling.
No.
Vice mother effing Bertha.
You hear that, Mike? See? I get no... You know what's ironic, though, is that you are on Bob's Burgers and The Last Man on Earth, but I am the last man on Earth to apparently do a voice on Bob's Burgers.
Oh, wait, are you saying you're going to?
No, I'm saying no. Apparently everyone else on Earth is going to do one before I do.
Okay, well, we'll make sure that that's true.
Well, no, it is true. Don't worry, it is true. Everyone else is going to do one before I do. Don't worry. Look, I'm not tap dancing for work right now. No, I take that back. Strike that from the record. Now we're going to go the rapid fire questions. I'm not begging
okay,
for work.
I'm not going to work.
Sure. Andy Kindler. Look, Andy Kindler, of course. Let Andy Kindler do this. 12 voices on the show. Of course, Andy Kindler. You got to let John Benjamin has to do kid number 4. Of course, you can't let.
Yeah,
no
you know, you're totally right. You got Bobby Tisdale on there.
Got Bob, yeah.
Like, where's the Sharpling?
Yeah, exactly. Sam right. Cedar. It's like, look, I'm not going to. It's neither here nor there. Here are the rapid-fire questions.
Okay, here we go.
And this is going to be a staple of the show now, these rapid-fire questions.
Okay.
Here we go.
To get people hooked.
Ten rapid-fire questions. Number one, what's the dumbest purchase you've ever made?
Anything clothing-wise on the internet.
Okay, anything clothing-wise. All right. Question number two, would you push Eric Clapton out of a hot air balloon or would you launch him into space?
He's going to die. Is he coming back from space? How high up is the hot air balloon? Is death involved?
How high up would you want the hot air balloon to be, though? Do you want to just, a little rolling ankle?
If it just started a little, it's 3 feet off the ground. I'm like, yeah!
Okay, so, I have the hot air balloon 3 feet off the ground. What is the most...
If you put him in his face, he'll die up there unless you tell me he can come back.
Yeah, no, then he's gone. He's gone if we shoot him into space.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Question three, what's the most popular movie you've never seen?
Popular movie that I've never seen. I know the most popular movie that I hate that I have seen.
What's that?
There Will Be Blood. I am not a fan. I'm the only one. Popular movie that I've never seen. Well, popular movie that I've never... Oh, there's... Oh, geez. This is tough. No, I saw that. What's a popular...
I've never seen... Look, I've never seen Titanic.
Oh, I saw it 4 times in the theater.
Okay.
It was so good.
That's what I hear. I hear it's pretty good.
What about Gladiator? I've never seen Gladiator.
Okay, that's a popular movie.
It won an Oscar.
It did? Yeah, all right. So Gladiator.
Yeah.
Let's see. What is the longest you've ever gone without sleeping?
14 hours.
Wow, okay. That's.
I gotta sleep. It doesn't matter. Got to.
If you were on the run, where would you hide?
Sorry. Really taking my time with this rapid part. I would hide, if I was on the run, I guess I would hide in the well of a tire well.
Okay, a tire well. All right. Let's see. Enough with this nerd stuff, right?
No, I love the nerds.
Okay,
nerds
all right. Okay. What makes you sad?
Probably just a weird melancholy feeling when the day slows down and it's 4 o'clock and you haven't accomplished anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 4 o'clock.
Okay.
4 or 5 o'clock almost every day.
Yeah. Who doesn't get their just desserts?
Who doesn't get their just desserts? Tom Sharpling.
Oh! Final one. What's the most embarrassing thing you've ever said to a celebrity?
Oh. Oh, that's... Oh, Oh, that's easy. This is the longer answer, but I met Karen O. Mm-hmm. From the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, and I'm such a big fan. And I was hit. She was friends with David Cross, I guess, and we were doing a show. And all of a sudden, I'm at a bar. I'm setting it up like, what were you doing there? Why were you even talking to her? Well, you know, it was a comfortable environment to talk, and she was just chatting about something, but I knew everything about her. So she was like, said something about college. And I'm like, but that's before or after you transferred to Oberlin or something. And it was it wasn't that big of a deal, but it was a little awkward. And I wanted to die.
Oh, I know that feeling. Well, Kristen Schaal, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it. The Last Man on Earth is so great, and it's on Sunday nights
at 9:30 on Fox.
And
watch. I know you're Walking Dead. I know Walking Dead. But maybe you could give a little comedy show that could a chance.
Exactly. And Bob's Burgers is also on Sunday nights on Fox.
At 7:30. I'm not worried about Bob. Bob's is a built-in audience. But yeah, please watch Bob, too, because it's a quality show. It won an Emmy. I mean, it won an Emmy. So if you're into that.
If you're into awards.
Yeah, if those matter to you,
yeah.
Well, we got one. So.
It's Emmy Award-winning. Well, Kristen, thank you so much, and you call anytime you want.
I will, and have a great night, and you're the best, and I'm a big fan, and you're an artist, and you better have a good night now.
Oh, all right, now I will.
Okay.
I appreciate
bye,
it.
Bye, Tom.
Bye. You like that, Mike? See? We got stuff going on here. What's that? Who's candid? She was candid. No, she's awesome. That was great. Kristen Schaal. Thanks again, everybody, for listening to Best Show Best. And I want to thank Martin DeGrell for supervising the episodes. I want to thank Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Martine Sellis, Brendan McDonald, AP Mike, John Worster, of course, and you. And once again, listen to The Best Show live each and every Tuesday night on your computer at thebestshow.net. Thanks so much.